Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hardline, 590 The Fan Camp in Essen, 590thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with John Edgar Hadley. Now, you guys know Hadley for his unbelievable wit and look. I know him for this theme song that all of you are hearing now that John cannot hear, indeed, because John does not wear headphones on the show. But this is too legit to quit, and I'm not so sure that... John, I don't think you'll ever deviate from that as your theme song.
No, because ultimately it says everything you need to know about who I am, what I do, what I'm all about, where I came from, and where I'm going.
Okay, well, all right. You covered all your bases there, so I... Oh, good stuff. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about, we touched on this earlier in the week, Jalen Hurts put his name into the college football transfer portal, and that, for the people who do not know, that is relatively new. I think it's only a year old. This is the first year I think they're using it, and kids, when they're put in this portal, now we as the media can't see it, but other coaches leak it out, and they have access to this portal that tell you when kids plan to transfer and when they do not plan to transfer. I believe it was either Tuesday or Wednesday that Jalen Hurts put his name into the portal as a potential transfer moving forward for next year. He would be a grad transfer. He would be eligible immediately. And we talked a little bit on Wednesday about some potential landing spots. One that you mentioned that is really interesting is TCU. One that I mentioned was Auburn. And, well, it turns out 247 Sports came out with an article, and the top two teams on their list is TCU and Auburn, but it is a list of 11. And I want to roll through this, and I know you are very well connected to a lot of the coaches around the country. See what you think about each of these 11. Now, recap for us what you thought was such a good fit about TCU.
Well, I just think the style and play that TCU has encompassed for quite some time is similar in many ways to Alabama. The kid's from Texas. He obviously is very familiar with the TCU program. And I think it's the type of offense that he could step in tomorrow and instantaneously make TCU a Big 12 conference contender. Because they have the running backs. They have a couple legit receivers. You know that Patterson's defense, more often than not, is going to rank among the best in the conference. So I just think it's almost a perfect fit for a guy who, if he wants to sip from the cup of success, could do so and maybe take a gulp at TCU if Patterson can get that defense back on track. So I just thought it was one that I sort of overlooked, that when it was mentioned to me, I thought was very interesting. Now, 247 really did a nice job with this. I like to give credit where credit's due. And whoever put this article together, well, actually, I guess I could take the time to take a look at the name.
Chris Hummer, yes.
Chris Hummer. Well, that's an unfortunate name. But anyhow, he did a really nice job with this because he lists 11 schools, and there's logical ties to all 11. And to a certain degree, all 11 would be seemingly fits for him. But in all honesty, before we go through these, I want to hit on the one that you brought up, because yours is the most intriguing of all. Because if come the end of November, Alabama and Auburn hit the football field, and it's not just Alabama and Auburn, it's Tua against Jalen. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. How incredible would that be?
Yeah, I would be I think that is the most interesting possible thing that could happen to college football next year, is if somehow you had Jalen Hurts matching up against Tua. You know it would happen in the Iron Bowl, but I think it'd be pretty spectacular if they were meeting undefeated late in the season to go to the SEC championship game. I think that's as good of a drama piece that you can ask for. And we've been talking a little bit about how you're going to get the rest of the country interested. I don't care if you are from China. That is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Then you have the on their list, the next guy is Mike Locksley, who is now the head coach at Maryland, formerly the OC at Alabama, and Kasim Hill, who definitely has some game, unfortunately, for the second straight year, tore his ACL. And you played the sport, you know injuries. Doing that in consecutive years could prove to be problematic. So if Loxley's looking for a guy to step in who comprehends the offense he's going to want to run, Jalen Hurt would be a very logical fit there.
I totally agree. And you know, Maryland has not been bad. They've beaten Texas 2 years straight now. Obviously, they are switching head coaches because of what was, you know, allegedly abuse and such, a tragic the situation where the player died, and they go through the investigation, and of course, you know, it comes out. A very, very weird thing, and terribly mismanaged from a PR standpoint. It turns out that the coach comes out and they said they're going to keep him, which is phenomenally terrible, and then fire him the next day after there is some crazy pushback. That was DJ Durkin that we're talking about. And so Loxley ends up there. I think, you know, I don't know what we're going to find out here shortly, but we've seen that Alabama is either a rehab facility for coaches like Lane Kiffin to come in and remake their name. That's why a lot of people thought that Hugh Freeze would end up there. Butch Jones is there right now as an analyst. You've seen a lot of guys go down and do that. Or it's a place where I'm not so sure that guys really come in and necessarily succeed at their last place. The first one that comes to mind is Kirby Smart. I suppose you could put Jimbo Fisher in there, but I'm not so sure he's as much of a Saban disciple as he is kind of a self-made guy that made a stop when he was at LSU. I'll be interested to see what Loxley can do up in Maryland.
Yeah, and he has ties to the school, and he has ties to the area, and, you know, he failed miserably first time around as a head coach, but you know what? So did Bill Belichick. So
yeah, that's right.
You know, next on that list is the University of Miami. Seems a bit of a stretch, but again, it is. It still does have a marquee value to it. It is Miami. There is word that Major Applewhite could be joining the coaching staff, and with that in mind, as the story notes, Major Applewhite was the offensive coordinator at Houston during the recruitment of Jalen Hurts back in the day, and Houston was one of the first schools to actually offer Hurts, so there's a familiarity there.
Yeah, you know, Jalen Hurts is, he's not what I think a lot of casual fans are looking at him now, and they don't follow it closely. They don't really know the ins and outs of football. He's not this remade passer. He played a really good game when it mattered against Georgia. Outside of that, he's the same dude that you saw prior to. Maybe he's slightly better. Maybe he worked on his mechanics. Maybe you had I'm blanking on his name, the Dan Enos come down and fix a couple things for him. But you don't just turn into this all-world talent after being, you know, a game manager that makes good decisions and has a decent arm and good running ability to an all-world passer. It just doesn't work. So it will be interesting to see if he can take a step forward there, and wherever he ends up, you know, whether it would be Miami, whether it would be next on the list down in Houston, any of these places, I think he's just a winner. He's a guy that's lost two starts his entire career. So wherever he goes, he's going to bring some leadership. But before we go any further on the list, the question, I think, is how big of an impact on the field does he really make as far as the skill level way above the next guy? I don't tend to think it's a crazy amount.
No, but if you look at the various situations, as we discussed, you know, at TCU's, you know, one of the guys I like was the Collins kid who wound up getting hurt, you know, and it's not as though by any means he was a guarantee. They just liked his potential. You know what you're getting with Jalen Hurts. You do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a guy who's going to make massive mistakes. He's not a guy who's going to really play outside his parameters. He is capable of making big plays, and he has proven on occasion to be capable of making that big pass. So, you know, I would slightly disagree with you but certainly not in total, because I don't think that Jalen Hurts is by himself. Trevor Lawrence, you could almost put anywhere and he's going to be an All-American. Kyler Murray, you could almost put anywhere and he's going to be an All-American. You know, Hurts, I don't think you can put him anywhere and guarantee him as an All-American. But what you can guarantee is a guy who's played in big games, who's proven a capable leader, who's made big plays and big and can be an orchestrator. You know, which is why on some of these other schools that are on this list, I think make just as much sense as TCU would. I just don't know, because of his lack of passing, if he really fits Melzon's offense. You know, we talked about Jarrett Stidham not fitting. I don't know that Jalen Hurts fits that offense, but I will say this much. Melzon was a few minutes away from winning a national championship with Nick Marshall, and Hurts is definitely a better passer than this Nick Marshall. So.
And he's a crafty runner. He doesn't get the credit because he's a pretty good passer. He's not a dominant runner. You know, nobody's ever going to mistake him for Lamar Jackson. But he's a crafty runner that makes moves, and he is sly in the pocket, and he can get out, break some tackles. He has good balance. He's got a thick body. All that stuff plays into it. He would be good. What do you make of him at Houston there with a Dana Holgorsen group? Obviously, Holgorsen moving on from West Virginia now. They are next on the list. Now, we have seen Holgorsen most recently pick up Will Grier, who was a cast-off from Florida, and turn him into a potential Heisman Trophy caliber player. I don't tend to take this one too seriously, but you never really count out any place that has a guy who's been good with quarterbacks.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, I think they're on the list for one reason only. That's Jalen Hurts' hometown. Well, his home vicinity, his home area. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's whenever you have a transfer, obviously there's a chance he may be going home for one more year. You know, it's not like he's making a quote-unquote career decision, because Jalen Hurts, no matter where he goes, is not going to be drafted in the NFL as a quarterback.
That's right.
You know, he has one more year to play. So it's not like he's making this massive decision that he's going to have to form some type of relationship over the next 2 to 3 years. It's one and done. And with that in mind, while Holgorsen has proven very good with quarterbacks and is a very good offensive mind, one, I don't necessarily think that he's a good fit in Holgorsen's offense because of his passing limitations. But two, if he's healthy, and he got hurt at the end of the year, but if he's healthy, Houston actually probably has a better overall quarterback, because De'Eriq King is a legit big-time college quarterback when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the most underrated quarterback this season. But again, another guy on the college level. He's not a pro prospect. But I don't know. I think King only has 1 year left. I could be wrong. But I don't know that Holgorsen's going to take that chance. And I don't think that Hurts would, because it's just not inconceivable he could wind up being number two again.
Yeah, which would be absolutely brutal for a guy of that caliber. We are about halfway through the list. We will bring the last part of the list. You guys will enjoy this. There are a lot of notable coaches, many of which you guys will see, and two of which are in the SEC. So we will bring that to you on the other side. It's a hard line. Hey, welcome back to the hard line. 590 The Fan, KFNS, and 590thefan.com. We left you earlier, midway through this list of potential landing spots for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, the Alabama backup quarterback, who is probably, in all likelihood, going to find a new home as a senior this upcoming season. Of course, he did have an opportunity to redshirt this year, opted against it, and probably, in all likelihood, wanted a chance to win another national championship. Did not happen for him, and he has entered the transfer portal. So we have been going over. There's a list on 247sports.com by Chris Hummer, who put together what I think is actually a very good list. And we recapped the first half of that list for you. We left off, of course, with Dana Holgorsen and the Houston Cougars. Up next on the list, Jonathan Edgar Hadley. That is Chad Morris at Arkansas. Now, Chad Morris recruited Hurts in high school, and I'm sure he will take a shot at this. He did take a shot at Kelly Bryant, whiffed on that. Chad Morris brought in a really, really good recruiting class to Arkansas this past year. I think it's a lot easier to bring in a freshman and tell him, you will be the change. But it may take a couple of years than it will be for a guy like Jalen Hurts trying to bring him in and say, all right, it's all going to happen in 1 year. That's a tougher sell.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, Morris is a good enough offensive mind that I would never be surprised to see any quarterback wind up with him. But I would have to believe, having been a member of a team that's played, let's see. Yeah, they played every year that Hurts has been there, they played for the national championship.
Yes.
You know, so it's a little hard to go from playing for national championships to playing for 6 wins in a bowl bid. And that's why I sort of rule out Arkansas.
Yeah, I am with you on that. And I do think Chad Morris does a good job recruiting. And I think Arkansas in time will get better. Now, I'm not as convinced that he's the Mr. Turnaround. He might be, but they hired him from SMU when he went 7-5. Now, that doesn't, 7-5 was a hell of an accomplishment taking SMU from where they were, but that also doesn't mean that you have what it takes to get to a 9 or 10 win type of season in the SEC. We saw with Willie Taggart, he was Mr. 7-5 resurrecting programs, and he went and absolutely face planted at Florida State this year. Doesn't mean they're not good coaches. I am just not convinced with either one at this point. Next on the list is Dan Mullen. This one is really intriguing to me, and I think this should be, I don't know if he put these in the order of likelihood. I kind of doubt that he did, although he did start out with the two that we mentioned. But if you have a guy like Dan Mullen, who took Florida and finished in the top 10 this year, coming off a crushing victory over Michigan in the bowl game, and they're in a place where he has shown that he can get the most out of his guys, I would not be surprised to see this in the final three.
Yeah, I mean, and in the article, he duly notes that not only a lot of people have to respect what he did at Mississippi State and what he did with Dak Prescott, but Dak Prescott is a factor today with a lot of young football players. So I will tell you this much. I would not rule this out. I'm as equally intrigued as you for two reasons. One, I could see it having logic. And two, with the way that – and Felipe Franks really did come on big time down the stretch. I mean, after basically being booed out of his own house, he just, like, flipped the switch on. And Felipe Franks was a completely different quarterback down the stretch. So, you know, the question is, do you take on Jalen Hurts for 1 year with the chance of Felipe Franks walking on you, which would not be a possibility? I mean, which would certainly be a possibility and something you couldn't rule out. So, yeah, I'm going to be really intrigued. I would not remotely bypass Florida as a legitimate contender.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Florida State next up on the list here. The Seminoles need a quarterback solution, it reads in the article, and Willie Taggart needs a spark. Hurts could help fill both voids. The offense of the new offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, would be a boon to Florida State's potential pursuit of Hurts. Kendall Briles is one of the best young offensive minds. Of course, his father, Art Briles, has mostly kept him, just the name Briles has kept him from going further in this business faster, because had none of that stuff happened, he would have been an offensive coordinator at a major, major school much before this year. In fact, I know that Missouri actually had a lot of interest in taking him. You just can't hire somebody with the last name Briles. Florida State, finally in desperate need of what was an absolutely atrocious offense this year, went and got Kendall Briles. That is a really, really bright young mind who probably needs to change his last name.
Well, it's interesting because it goes to show you the state of Florida football. Miami's on the list, Florida's on the list, Florida State's on the list, and later we'll mention FAU as well. So You have four of the seven major programs in Florida listed as a possibility, and logical location for Jalen Hurts, but I don't know. There are so many people that are so down on Willie Taggart right now. Again, does Jalen Hurts want to go to a program that had to play in 11th game or 12th game to try and salvage a bowl and, oh, well, we're not going to because we're not going to make it. Da-da-da-da. I mean, not making a bowl at Florida State is damning.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that program has a serious marker right now.
Anytime a coach during a game wears a whistle around his neck, guys are going to stare at you funny. And that is what Willie Taggart does. So I would, if I'm Jalen Hurts, again, I am looking for best possible scenario, and I am trying to figure out how I can be inserted there and win now. I mean, Kelly Bryant picked the perfect place. This is why I think Auburn is going to be a huge deal, albeit it's really tough to go from Alabama to Auburn, which is why I would right now, if I'm splitting the two schools, I'd probably give a 60% chance to TCU, 40% to Auburn. Next one on the list here is Tennessee, and Jeremy Pruitt needs to find a quarterback solution. Connect some dots here. Jeremy Pruitt, former Alabama assistant. His school, Tennessee, needs a quarterback. Jim Chaney, by the way, just hired, I believe it was on Wednesday. He is a very well-respected play caller, and he was at Tennessee under the Derek Dooley years, so he's familiar with the area. I think that could be a good fit. I'm not so sure there's really enough there to lure him in, but if you're looking for familiarity, you've got it.
Yeah. Of all the schools on this list, I think that's the biggest stretch, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go to the SEC East, you might as well just go to Florida.
Yeah.
If you're going to go elsewhere in the SEC, you might as well just go to Auburn and bring it on and have one of the most phenomenal spectacles in college football next year. I mean, and with all these other ties, I find Tennessee to be far more on the outside looking in than others. The next one on the list might be the most bizarre, but the most logical.
Yes.
Because Jalen Hurts played his best football for Lane Kiffin.
He
sure
did.
And FAU, I don't think can be ruled out. I don't know what their personal relationship was, but I do know that was when he played his best football. Lane Kiffin, I think, utilized Jalen Hurts better than any other coordinator there. So I would not rule it out, although, again, I think it's a stretch.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Lane Kiffin has the type of attitude that allows players to play their best. Oftentimes, it allows them to get out of control. But he has the don't care. I mean, go look at his Twitter account, right? He is the type to say whatever he wants, comment on anything, and that generally extends to his players, albeit probably not as far as the Mike Tomlins, Pete Carrolls of the world. I think he allows you to be you, and that may be a really nice change of pace after leaving a Nick Saban coach team. Last on the list here, this one is intriguing, and I think after the failure that was Khalil Tate, maybe would be less likely. It is Kevin Sumlin over at Arizona. Khalil Tate was a preseason All-American Heisman type of guy. Now he is headed back to Arizona for his senior year. He struggled this year bad, and Arizona struggled this year bad. So this one I don't see happening. Why would you want to compete with Khalil Tate going into your senior year? I think if you're going to go find a spot, you want to be told, hey, this is your spot. Let's roll.
Yeah. I mean, they mentioned that Kevin Sumlin had a relationship with Jalen Hurts' father, with Hurts being a high school football coach. But, again, you have to look at it logically. While Tate did struggle early, Tate came out strong in the end. And Khalil Tate's a good enough football player that he's on par with Jalen Hurts. Again, I can't see if Jalen Hurts wants competition and he's willing to be number two, he might as well just stay at Alabama.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's well put.
You know? Now, I did find it also interesting that my bookie released odds on where Jalen Hurts will land.
Really?
Yes. And the top five are in order: TCU 4-1, Auburn 5-1, Maryland 5-1, University of Miami 6-1, and University of Houston 6-1.
Interesting.
And then, ironically, there's a group of 7-1 teams, which includes Alabama, meaning he'd just stay there.
Right. Right. Yeah, that was the feeling I got too. I wasn't aware of the odds, but you heard me say I'd probably give about I would give the edge to TCU at this point over Auburn because it's a chance to go win. You go win the Big 12 next year. Texas is good. Your boy Ellinger is going to be back, and that Texas team is surging. But Texas has also proven over the last 2 years they don't exactly start the year ready to play every year, and there will be opportunities. And they may be world beaters in 2 years. They're not today. And Oklahoma needs to find a quarterback. And outside of that, the Big 12 is what the Big 12 has been over the years. That's a group of can be good some days. Most of the time, it's a bunch of average teams. So if you want to go win today, TCU is the place for you.
Well, I wasn't sure why you had such an issue with my boy Ellinger until recently when I was reading two different articles that once again drew comparisons to Tim Tebow. So I now know, because God forbid anybody be named Tim Tebow in TJ Moe's world. That's blasphemy.
That's exactly right. In fact, I will kill in the name of Tebow. So Ellinger better not come over the state line into Missouri. Try me, bro. So there you go. Another guy, before we move off of the college football talk here, a guy that did enter the transfer portal and he exited fairly quickly. That is Justin Fields, who is going to play for Ryan Day up at Ohio State. Ohio State, the likely favorite to win the Big Ten again next year. They are filled with talent. They always are, and they have a kid who was a number one recruit, quarterback recruit in the country, may have been number one overall, depending on the recruiting ranking, and Justin Fields, who is looking to become eligible immediately, and in all likelihood, he's going to get it because of the racial incident that happened with a baseball player at Georgia during a game, screaming, "Put the N-word in." Of course, he was not as political there. He screamed it. He was removed. He was actually not only removed from the stadium, he was removed from the University of Georgia. I do find it interesting. If the NCAA wanted to fight this, they could. They could fight it easily. Why? Because his little sister is going to play softball at Georgia. If they thought it was such a terribly racist place and that he couldn't possibly live one more day down there and he had to get out, then of course you would not sign your little sister up to go play sports there. However, it would be a really bad look for Georgia and a really bad look for the NCAA after that incident to block him from going elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia, again, you know, you look at these preseason top 25 dealies and, you know, the euphoria following a season sometimes catches me by surprise because, you know, you look at Oklahoma and it's as though we sat there in amazement and spoke about Kyler Murray being a one-man band at Oklahoma this year. And then suddenly he's departed and no one's remembering what the one-man band was. And that was Kyler Murray, and he's gone. You know, in addition to other losses, I just don't see Oklahoma being the shoe-in that others do. You look at the University of Georgia, not only have they lost some very key personnel offensively, they've lost some major talent on the defensive line, and in particular over 2 years, and will be very, very young there next year. Now they go into a season with two new coordinators, neither of which, to the best of my knowledge, have been hired. I still don't think that they've replaced Mel Tucker. I could be wrong. And they certainly haven't replaced Jim Chaney, to the best of my knowledge. So you still have two coordinators, and now you lose Justin Fields. Now, that said, I'm not quite as high on Ohio State as some others because, again, you know, I mean, Haskins had a really special year there.
He did.
You know, and Justin Fields certainly is a talented player, but Ohio State didn't win last year playing smack-mouth football.
Do you want to know?
Ohio State ran probably with their most passive offense that they've had there in memory. That was a passing offense. That wasn't old school, you know, Ohio State football, smashing in the mouth, smashing in the mouth, smashing in the mouth, and then hit you with the 60-yard pass. No, this was Ohio State that really matriculated the ball downfield through the passing game. Now, all of a sudden, can Justin Fields step in and be that guy? I think the only reason he went to Ohio State because he's very similar to the backup quarterback there now, Tate Martell.
Yeah.
Melvin athlete, can move, very suspect passer. You know, plus Ohio State, what was one of the most veteran and talented coaching staffs, now has lost the likes of Kevin Wilson, Alex Grinch, Greg Schiano, Urban Meyer, and they're starting over again with Ryan Day, who a lot of people have a lot of respect for, but it's not like Ryan Day's taking over Urban Meyer's team, because Urban Meyer and most of his key assistants are gone, and a lot of personnel is gone. You know, so it's a long way to get to where I wanted to go when it comes to Justin Fields, but with the losses at Georgia, with the losses at Oklahoma, and I'm telling you, people are going to chuckle, but there isn't one team in the country that loses more defensively than Clemson. Does Clemson have some receivers? No doubt. They have two legit running backs? No doubt. Potential Heisman winning quarterback? No doubt. But they lose all but one of their truly key offensive linemen. They lose their defensive line in total. They lose their main defensive backs. In the end, I'll tell you what, it could be another dominant year for Alabama, because when you sit down and you put everything down on paper, you're going to realize that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I'm not so sure that the only sure thing, once again, is in Alabama when it comes to the Final Four this in 2019.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. The argument for Clemson would be not even that Clemson is nearly as good as they were. It's that the ACC is just so bad. And I don't even know who's on the upswing. I mean, Boston College is, you know, whatever, right? They were like a fringe team this year. Syracuse, they're fine. But Syracuse will never have the talent, even of Clemson's backups right now, the way Clemson has been recruiting. Florida State, obviously, is a real struggle. And we'll see if they can pick it up. They were just bad this year. Miami going to be replacing Mark Richt with Manny Diaz, see how that experiment goes. You know, Justin Fuente still rebuilding things at Virginia Tech. The ACC looks nothing like people thought it would 3 years ago when they started hiring some of these coaches.
No. And my guess is when the preseason polls come out August 2019, based on those projections, you will find that most will view Miami and Virginia Tech as the two top contenders to knock off Clemson. And in actuality, those are two programs that have a chance to be good, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Clemson's going to have to play down to its to the level of most of its competition. But they also have some toughies. You know, I mean, Texas A&M's brought their program around. You know, I mean, again, it's another team that loses some talent, but you know, it's not a pushover by any means. I just, you know, I go up and down this list of different teams. All I can tell you is that Clemson's accomplishment have, for the most part, given hope to those who like to see Alabama beat. And that'll make college football interesting. But again, about the only guarantee that I think going into next year of teams that will definitely be in that Final Four is Alabama. I think people are vastly underestimating what Clemson has lost. Seriously, they have lost a lot of talent. Yeah, they're sitting on top of all these different boards. You know, virtually every preseason poll I've seen, but They start off with a funky opponent in Georgia Tech because you have no idea what Georgia Tech's going to be. None.
That's true.
None.
Yeah.
You know, and then the very next week, they play Texas A&M. And then strangely, and this is a big change to their schedule, after playing two pushovers, you know, they apparently will be playing Florida State early this year. The ACC schedule hasn't come out, but I've heard they were going to play Florida State early this year. So it's not impossible that three of their first five games could be against a Georgia Tech team with a completely revamped program, Texas A&M, and Florida State. And as weak as that conference is, all they really have to do is lose one game to be in a precarious position.
That is interesting. Wait, the 2019 schedule hasn't come out yet?
The 2019 ACC schedule has not come out, no.
Oh, really?
You know the opponents. You don't know the dates.
Oh, wow. How about that? That's interesting. When does that typically come out?
I frankly, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Okay.
I do not know.
Yeah.
You know, and then this year they'll end the season at South Carolina, and again, people can laugh, but anytime Clemson goes to William-Brice, there's been really good Clemson teams beat there before.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The team. Last thing before we get going here, the team that I think, and you mentioned this earlier this week. Let me backtrack just a minute. I think we severely overvalue bowl game performances, and we look and say, see, that's who that team is. For instance, I don't think Michigan was nearly that bad. I don't think Florida was nearly that good. I think bowl games tend to be outliers. Some teams are really ready to go prove something, and they get their guys ready to play. Other teams are out drinking the entire week, can't hardly get onto the field, and then get absolutely steamrolled. So I do think we overvalue. However, the one thing that I saw that I could take away from the Texas-Georgia bowl game was that Texas has the dudes to play physical.
Oh, you've seen the light. You've seen the light.
This is who Texas has always been. They didn't have the attitude. Texas, now I know they've struggled in recruiting, and they're not who they used to be. They used to be top five every year. They're not that anymore. I do think they'll get back to that at some point. But they have always had the guys, just not the attitude, to compete along the offensive and defensive line. They've always had the dudes. The athletes are always there. They got a bunch of kids with long arms who are hard to move if they're engaged and they have that screw you attitude. They just haven't had that since Mack Brown's team in like 2009. I mean, honestly, it's been about a decade. They certainly didn't have that under Charlie Strong. They hadn't had it under Tom Herman until I think the bowl game. They played Georgia, who will flat get after you, and they took them out in back and they whooped them and they beat them on the line and they pushed them around. And that's the first time I've seen that attitude since 2009. I played against that 2019 of Emmanuel Acho and, you know, Jordan Shipley, all those. I think Earl Thomas was on that team. They had some dudes, and that was a group of guys with an attitude of pushing you around. And people forget, if Colt McCoy doesn't have, you know, that pinched nerve, they'd win that national championship game against Alabama. I think Texas was a better team. That was a stacked team with a screw-you attitude, and I think they've lost that attitude since that time. It seemed like in the bowl game they got it back.
I am so glad that you've finally seen the light. You have joined the team. Welcome aboard, my friend. Welcome aboard. It's going to be a fun two-year Longhorn drive with a guy who's going to win at least one Heisman Trophy before he takes off, and Sam Ellinger. Also, keep in mind, Texas Tech has a very interesting setup now. They bring in a very well-respected guy who did a tremendous job at Utah State, and Matt Wells, and he brought along with him David Yost. Yost is now down. He's back in the Big 12
at
Texas Tech.
Yep, that's a big deal.
But it's going to be so strange next year. You got Hugh Freeze back on the sideline at Liberty. So here you have a Jerry Falwell-built university with religion in abundance that has the AD who was in charge of the pathetic happenings at Baylor running the athletic department, and you have Hugh Freeze, one of the worst cheaters in the history of the NCAA, well, actually a very successful cheater in luring players, very poor cheater in covering it up, as the head coach. You have Kansas, which has gone with a bunch of young guys for the most part, going against Bill Snyder. Now Snyder's gone. They bring in Chris Klieman, and Kansas hires the old man in Les Miles. Mack Brown back on the sidelines at North Carolina. No Urban Meyer. Jim Harbaugh conceivably playing for his job. No. Michigan would never fire Jim Harbaugh, but if Jim Harbaugh fails to make any headway next year, I guarantee you he's back in the NFL in 2020.
Yep, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I mean, we're 8 months away, but wow, there's some fascinating storylines. Fascinating storylines, Big Boy, and it all could be even better if Auburn proves to be Jalen Hurts' destination. Can't see it, can't imagine it, but would just love to see it.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I am all about it, baby. So,
oh, and by the way,
uh-huh,
there's a little team not too far from here. I guess what would it be? Technically northwest of us?
Depends on who you're talking about.
A little team that has themselves a veteran quarterback who's been through the wars, some extremely talented running backs, pretty good head coach, who has now relinquished to his coordinators win to go for two. And what could be an extraordinarily interesting year. Now, Georgia, when I'm talking about Georgia not being the guarantee that some are making them out to be, it's still going to be a hell of a football team now. That's still going to be a really good football team. Florida going to be a really good football team. Tennessee probably improved. South Carolina competitive. I'd be curious to see what happens with Kentucky. So it's by no means a walk, but if there is a sleeper in the SEC East, they reside in this very state.
Your Missouri Tigers, huh?
I suppose MIC, baby!
I suppose they are north, west of us, just ever so slightly north, mostly west. No doubt about it. And I sure as hell hope that Kelly Bryant delivers on the field the hype that he has produced already and will continue to produce as we move towards the season, because when Missouri shows up for their home opener, that place is going to be frickin' packed to see that kid.
Well, you know what? In a truest sense, I hope he's the facilitator that I think he is. Is Kelly Bryant going to wow you? No. But you know what? With the program that Barry Odom is building, I'm not so sure that the wow factor is that important. Just give me a steady guy who's not going to make an abundance of mistakes, who is good enough to make decisions on the field and snap, who knows what it takes to win big games, and those are all boxes that Kelly Bryant checks off. Those are all boxes. Ironically, the guy who really has some spectacular skill but it's so unrefined, it's really hard to touch him and make a definitive statement. But Sean Robinson's a very intriguing prospect to me, dude. Very intriguing. Can that coaching staff mold him? I don't know. But he has some athleticism now. That dude has some serious athleticism.
Yeah. Yep, and he's going to have 2 years to play after sitting this year. Hey, before we go, we haven't we talked about it a little bit on Thursday, I think, but what did you think about the San Francisco Chronicle reporting that Kyler Murray is expected to enter the NFL draft?
I think you would be foolish not to. Seriously, I think you would be foolish not to. I mean, one, he has to see what's up. He has to see what's up. You know, but as good a baseball prospect as some make him out to be, that's a long haul to the majors. Even if he were to elevate within a year, nobody's telling me that Kyler Murray a legitimate Major League Baseball starter in 2 years. I'm telling you, I know his stature. I know his downfalls. TJ, this kid is a spectacular football player with an arm who is a quarterback by heart and bloodline. His daddy could play. I'm telling you, I would love to see. Let me tell you something. Just as we sat back and were so entertained this year by Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, I personally, and I know you're going to disagree, I personally think Kyler Murray is a better pro prospect than either one of them.
Say that again, better pro prospect than who?
Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield.
Okay, I agree on one of those, certainly. Less so on the other. Here is a little snippet from the San Francisco Chronicle article. The A's expect Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray, the team's top pick last June, to declare for the NFL draft on Sunday. Multiple sources told the Chronicle this was written on Wednesday night. Declaring for the draft does not guarantee that Murray, an outfielder, Oakland selected ninth overall, will decide to reject his $4.66 million deal with the A's outright, but it certainly increases the chances that Oklahoma star quarterback will decide to go pro in football rather than baseball. A source with knowledge of the situation says contractually it is not a big deal. No harm in doing so. They go on to talk about, you know, there's some issues here because the chances of you playing quarterback. Like, it's one thing to Bo Jackson it. It's one thing to Deion Sanders go play some corner and then run out. You ain't playing quarterback in the NFL and then flying out to go play a baseball game. Ain't happening.
No, absolutely. I mean, even veteran quarterbacks to this day live and breathe that game 8 months a year.
Yes.
That's not going to happen. What could happen is, depending upon if there's NFL GMs who feel the same way I do about Kyler Murray and somebody reaches higher than most expect, okay, well, write me that NFL check so I can pay the A's.
Right. Yeah, the thing about the A's, too, is in the article, it talks about this. If Murray chooses the NFL and doesn't play baseball, he would have to return the signing bonus. But
right.
The A's don't get a compensation pick for using a top 10 pick on a guy that never plays for them. That is absolutely brutal. Numerous first-round Major League draft picks have failed to sign, including Stanford pitcher Mark Appel in 2013. The Astros did receive a compensatory pick the following year. That is a huge deal for them, and that's something that could potentially in the future prevent crossovers and the likelihood of the A's demanding that he doesn't play next time around if something like this were to happen is significantly increased, because they allowed him to play thinking, all right, yeah, play your year and then come play for us, not thinking he'd blow up and they would lose him altogether.
Well, and you know, it'd be easy to point to the A's and say, well, they took the risk and that's why they got him where they got him and yada, yada, yada. But let's not forget, Kyler Murray himself, not much more than a month ago, said, you know, I'm going to play baseball.
Yeah. And the argument of that's why they got him or they got him, I don't think is a really strong one, because the reason he was picked so high was in order to intrigue him to come. A lot of people thought he was more of a late 20s guy, and he snuck up into the top 10 so that the signing bonus and things would be as such that you could convince him to leave and come play baseball.
Well, and the reason I say if he chooses the NFL is because I know that there were scouts who thought he was top 5 talent.
Really?
I know of scouts who are as high on him for baseball as I am for football.
How about that?
Now, it's hard for me to really judge baseball. I mean,
right, yeah. How do you know that? The 20s, late 20s, is just what I had read leading up to the draft.
Oh yeah, no. What you said is true. I think for the most part it's true. I'm just saying I do know that there are guys who thought even high. There are guys who thought that Kyler Murray was a future all-star baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say that. What I do know is that I've just been around the game of football long enough that there are guys who, you know, come draft time last year, I kept saying, I don't care what anybody says, Baker Mayfield is a big-time football player. I mean, it didn't take a genius to figure out that Baker Mayfield had a few genes that most people don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's just a different cat. And one of the funniest things uttered all year long that really proved true and shows you what Baker Mayfield's all about is that old comment about, I woke up feeling dangerous. And that, I mean, that's not a show with Baker Mayfield.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
You know, and it comes across with the way that he plays the game. I mean, we all tend to forget this is a cat who was a freaking walk-on. You know, I mean, I'll be really intrigued to see how this Kyler Murray thing plays out, because I've seen a lot of college football. And even when Tua was doing what he was saying, you heard me. You know, I kept talking about two things. Kyler Murray being just as spectacular. And as the season wore on, boys, I'm telling you, this Ellinger kid's special.
Well, he's no Tim Tebow, I can assure you that, Heads. I can assure you that. Hey, we got to go, though. You guys enjoy what is going to be a spectacular weekend of football.
Oh, guess what? If you didn't listen to our number one, you didn't get our NFL picks, which means you'll probably pick losers. So, you damn fools, listen to both hours in the future.
Well, they can always download the podcast, Heads.
Oh, how do they do that?
Well, you just got to go to 590thefan.com. That's what I would do. Or it's up on iTunes. I would recommend either one. Either one gets you the prize.
There you go.
Yeah, baby. Go download the podcast, as always, and catch our picks from hour number one. I'm really excited for this weekend's game. I have the Colts pulling the upset against the Kansas City Chiefs. We will see, in fact, if this does happen. I'm pretty pumped for that. If you guys remember the crazy comeback, what year was that? Was that 2012, Heads?
I don't know. Let's just say I had the Colts in that game, and that's a memory that I have tried to erase, a bitter, bitter, bitter sports investment defeat.
Wait, if you had the Colts in that game, you won.
No, I meant that the Chiefs. My bad then.
Okay. Yeah, the Chiefs blew a massive, massive, crazy lead. I believe this is the year that you guys can look it up. I think it's the year that the Colts lost the AFC title game, and Andrew Luck had the crazy comeback against the Chiefs. Chiefs fans really struggle.
Well, wasn't it Luck's rookie year?
I didn't think he went to the AFC title game his rookie year.
I guarantee you it was one of his first 2 years. Guarantee it.
Yeah, it may have been year two. Yeah, it was, while we're sitting here, before we go, we will let you know exactly what I'm saying. The Chiefs-Colts playoff. Let's see, it was January 4, 2014. It was the Colts' complete second largest comeback in NFL playoff history versus the Chiefs' second-year quarterback Andrew Luck helped the Colts overcome a 28-point deficit to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs. I watched that game, and it was a lovely, lovely watch. That is obviously, if people had not realized already, the birth of Andrew Luck and his greatness in the future of the NFL.
And a reminder, you can hear the Chiefs game on 590 this weekend, live via radio.
Fantastic. Everybody listen, you guys enjoy the weekend, and thank you all for listening. Football Friday, my favorite show of the week. Hads, have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself some football. We will reconvene on Monday.
Don't you tell me what to do.
See you guys.